What's up? How's everybody doing? Everybody good? Come on. Let me remind you what Caleb said. Next week, we will not be here. They're having the Gourd Festival. Only in Coleman do you have Gourd Festivals. Right here, the Gourd Festival will be taking place, so we will be at Heritage Park having a family fun day, and you need to come and be a part. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be fun. Maybe you'll get to know some people you have not met yet. We're really looking forward to it, so I'm hoping and praying that you will be there. Hey, listen, this is our second week. For a lot of you guys that were here last week, if you remember, we stopped a series in the middle of a series and started a new one because we really felt like God wanted to take us a whole nother direction. And so we have started another series. Last week we started a series called I Just Want to Be Happy. And so I really believe that God gave me a word for our church. And, you know, if you're sitting here today and you're like, well, is every other time you preach, Doc, God doesn't give you a word? I sure hope so, okay? I'm pretty sure I get words in too, but there were some specific things that I really felt like I needed to share last week. And so I really believe in the same sense that God is wanting to do something this week also. Because I was planning on speaking on unforgiveness, had a lot of things ready to roll, and we're going to come back and talk about that. But in the middle of the week, this week, about Wednesday or so, God kind of changed my sermon. And, you know, that doesn't happen a whole lot. Usually I stay on course with where I'm going. But I really believe that what God has given me is still in the same realm of I just want to be happy. And the whole thought process of surrender. Remember we talked about last week about surrendering our lives, putting our flesh to death, walking with Christ, choosing to walk in the flesh or choosing to walk in the spirit, that discipleship 101 takes place in your choices. And so we talked a lot about surrender. Well, this is just another area of surrender that we're going to talk about today. And I'm hoping and I'm praying that it's really going to help a lot of you. Because really, I believe that this word probably that God has given me is really specific for a lot of people who are going to our church, who are here today, okay, this morning and now. I really believe that God has a specific word for a lot of people. And the only way you're ever really going to be able to hear this is if you let the Holy Spirit work in you, move on you, take his divine flashlight, go into the depths of your soul and show you you. That's the only way it's going to work. And so I want to challenge you that you let God move on you today. And let him reveal things. Because here's what I don't want to have happen. I don't want people leaving here ever, 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 ever leaving here feeling beat up. That's the last thing. I feel like religion beats people up. The good news gives people life. And my passion is, even though the content may be a little tough for people, the big picture is that God is wanting to reveal things to you for the purpose of freedom. And so what my passion is that you listen with the cross, that you listen with grace, and you hear that God is wanting to set you free. Listen to it in the context of relationship and not religion. Let God move on you, in you, and through you, and do something absolutely large in your life. You know, I really believe that there are a lot of people here that are holding on to what you think is going to produce happiness in your life. And God's telling you to let it go and to surrender it. You know, just like I said last week, there's a lot of people that I talk to on a regular basis that make this comment to me all the time. And they say things like, man, I just want to be happy, Andy. And in reality, happiness, like we talked about last week, happiness, honestly, it only comes with certain circumstances. I think what a lot of people are looking for is joy, and maybe you can even throw the word satisfaction in there, and you can find joy whenever you put your trust in Christ. You can find joy even in the middle of trials, because all of us will deal with storms of life, trials and tribulations, and so you want to be content with Jesus through the good and through the bad. And so if you're looking for happiness and you think that you're going to find it in other things outside of Jesus, it's never, ever, 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 everybody say ever, thank you, ever going to happen, all right? And so I believe that the only place you can ever find it is in Christ, okay? So listen, I believe all of us have a void. Every one of us have a void in our life that only God can fill. And a lot of times we try to fill this void maybe with good things like church. We try to fill it with spouses. Maybe we try to fill these voids with boyfriends or girlfriends because we're just looking for happiness. Maybe we try to fill these voids with money. We try to fill it with friends. But really, only Jesus can fill that void. I can remember, now a lot of you guys have been going to our church for a long time, have kind of heard me say these stories before, but I can remember whenever I was lost and I was out in the world, me and my boys were always looking for some kind of happiness. We were looking for answers in life. We were searching, and honestly didn't even realize we were searching. And where we would try to find happiness is we'd go to the clubs, and we were trying to find happiness in the clubs, all right? They had the music and dance, and I went to Ropers and Senior Frogs. I am dating my days, all right? We would go in, and we'd do the Cotton Eye Joe. We did a Boot Scootin' Boogie. We'd do the, come on, ride that train. Whoop, come ride it. Whoop, we'd do the Tootsie Roll. Listen, I'm dating it. Listen, by the way, I played those songs for my kids the other day, and I didn't realize how dirty they were. But anyway, the big picture is, wow, hold on, don't listen to that, Caleb. Close your ears, all right? He don't even know what it means anyway. I don't think, unless it's fourth grade, but he's told him. Here's the deal, we were searching. We were always asking ourselves when we were together, is my God, there's gotta be more to life than this. Now we were happy for a moment, but when we left, we were never satisfied. We kept searching, and then I met Jesus. And 24 years later, My contentment is still found in Jesus. And even though I've gone through a lot of rough times and good times in the last 24 years, I'm still focused on Jesus. Jesus is the only one that can really satisfy. I said last week, we all have legitimate desires, but most of us meet these desires in illegitimate ways. We try to go outside of Jesus to meet the legitimate desires that God's given us, where God says, I want you to meet it with me. What I believe the word for many of us in here today that God has given me is that I really believe that there's a lot of people in our church that have started letting their guard down in a lot of places, and the enemy's beginning to really take advantage of it. And honestly, he started the process of destroying some people's lives here. Or honestly, he's on the verge of getting you where he wants you. And honestly, he wants to bring you to a place of destruction. And so I want to talk to you about what that looks like. I really believe that God spoke to me this week. That's why I changed my message to this today. And I really believe that God's wanting to rescue some people. He's wanting to call your attention to some things, maybe in your own personal life here today. I talked to a lady this week whose her husband is a pastor. And she said something that I thought was really simple and really true. She said, a lot of people, she said, my husband says all the time, a lot of people think that Satan is some kind of cartoon character, kind of like the deviled ham guy on the side of a can, with a little pitchfork and got the little horns on his head and got the little tail with an arrow on the end of it, and that he's some kind of cartoon character that's out just kind of mess your life up to kind of move you away from Jesus. But in reality, what the devil's job is to honestly, not to just kind of make your life bad, but to destroy your life. He wants to destroy it. He wants to kill it. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's all about destruction, and he's a powerful foe. He's a powerful being, and he knows how to do it. And he always starts small so that he can move into large. And when you start letting your guard down in certain areas of your life, it gives the enemy an opportunity to come in and wreak havoc. And I really believe there's a great possibility there may be some people here who are letting their guard down. I believe that there's a lot of people, maybe some, maybe a few, or maybe a lot, that are you're tolerating things in your life that God's saying he doesn't want you to tolerate. And it's keeping you from freedom, and it's keeping you from purpose. It's keeping you from walking in the fullness of who God's called you to be. And God's saying today, I want to reveal to you the guards that you're dropping, that you're letting down. And so if that's you today, I need you listening, because God's not mad at you. He's not a killjoy. He just wants to rescue you. He wants to bring you to alertness. He wants you to see how the enemy is trying to destroy you. Some of you are on the perfect, you're in the perfect storm, that if Jesus does not come through and you, or Jesus is trying to rescue you, if you do not let him rescue you, it will take you down a bad road. And so God's trying to rescue some people here today out of the perfect storm. When I read the Old Testament, there's this running theme that takes place especially in 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, and even in Samuel, where it really messes me up. I see these same verses over and over and over and over again, and every time I read them, it causes me to check my own heart. And so I just want to read you just a few of them. This is just a couple. But they say the exact same thing all the way through the Kings, Chronicles, and Samuels. Samuels? Samuel. There's not two Samuels, there's one. Listen. Well, first and second Samuel, but still one person. Listen. Just trying to help you out with your Old Testament theology. Listen. This is what it says in 1 Kings 22:43. This is what messes me up. In everything, he followed the ways of his father Asa and did not stray from them. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. The high places, however, were not removed, and the people continued to offer sacrifices and burn incense there. 2 Kings 12:2-3. Joash did what was right in the eyes of the Lord all the years the priest instructed him. The high place, however, were not removed. The people continued to offer sacrifices and burn incense there. 2 Kings 14:4, these are all different kings. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. These were the leaders of Israel, but not as his father David had done. In everything, he followed the example of his father Joash. The high places, however, were not removed. The people continued to offer sacrifices and burn incense there. You know, over the last several years, I guess it's my old age. I guess I'm getting old. Like, I don't like heights. I kind of get like a little nauseous. I start like cringe factor, like picture myself fall over. And I think it all started with like the fair. Now, listen, you better be glad the Coleman County Fair just left, because you probably would not go after I get through talking to you about fairs. Now, listen, you know at these places that go and set up and tear down, that they missing some screws somewhere. There's no way that, listen, there's a bag of screws left in Portland, Oregon right now that was supposed to be in Coleman County last week. And they, you know, they pieced it together with a stick they found at an oak tree over next to Sportsman's Lake. And you get on the scrambler, listen, one of these days that scrambler gonna throw somebody off into Sportsman's Lake. You're gonna be flying with the ducks. It's gonna be great. But let me tell you what screwed me up is I can remember whenever I went to a county fair kind of like that. And I remember on the Ferris wheel, listen, it was a high, tall Ferris wheel. We got stuck at the very top. Me and the dude I was with, this is like whenever a long time ago, we were stuck at the very, very top. And we wasn't moving. Like, it wasn't because they were getting, we were stuck. And my friend thinks it's funny. If you do this, you're not a good friend. He started rocking the chair. I'm like, I'm about to punch you in the mouth, give you the right hand of fellowship in Jesus' name. Because we were flipping like that, like, whoa! Like, you know that Ferris wheels at the county fair don't have seat belts. They used to. Somebody tore them out and used them in their car. Listen, it's jacked up. High places will kill you. If you fall, it's not good. And listen, in the same sense, spiritually, the high places in your life that you're not cutting down, they will kill you. They will hurt you. Now, some of you might be asking, what are high places? What are the high places that took place? Let me explain to you what took place historically with high places. When the Israelites entered into the promised land, they often followed the Canaanite customs of locating their altars on high places. The Canaanites, their main god was Baal, B-A-A-L. And so there was a great possibility that the Israelites were taking their custom of worship and they were worshiping at Baal sites. And this was forbidden by God because God wanted their altars built on divinely sanctioned sites that he picked out for them. Now, a lot of scholars believe that whenever they crossed the Jordan, that they didn't have the tabernacle set up yet. And so people were looking for places to worship, and so they went to where the world, the other gods, the other people that worshiped other gods, they went to where they worshiped. But God says, I don't want you going where other people worship and worship the same way other people worship. I want you to worship me, divine me, by yourself. I will pick out the divine sanctioned site that I have for you. But they wouldn't listen. They still worship God, but these were areas in their life that they missed. And so whenever they did this, that was forbidden by God, it led to pagan high places being used to worship the Lord, and this would eventually lead to religious apostasy. Now, here's what I would say. They had to justify some way, form, or fashion, because they knew the first commandment of the top 10, the 10 commandments, is let there be no other God before me. They had to know some way, form, or fashion that this was not good. Now, they may have said, hey, we don't have anywhere else to worship. Let's just go where they worship Baal, but we'll still worship our God even though Baal is there. Great possibility that happened. I don't know. But what I do know is that some way, form, or fashion, they had to justify in their hearts why it was okay to worship in the high places. Why it was okay to worship in the high places. Can I tell you what justifying things leads to? It leads to tolerating things that God's not called you to tolerate. Justification and toleration go hand in hand. Justification and toleration go hand in hand. And when I read these verses, and I read them on a regular basis, it seems like I'm reading them all the time, I have to ask myself personally, what are my high places? What are the areas in my life that I'm tolerating that's keeping me from experiencing the fullness of God? Listen, at salvation, God gives us all his fullness, but there's places in my life that I'm harboring for selfish purposes that keeps me from experiencing all of who God is. It's not on God, it's on me. What are the high places in my life that I'm tolerating that's keeping me from walking in my full purpose? What am I chasing that's of this world, another God, that I think is going to meet my desires and my needs better than God? Because when I chase after other things outside of Jesus, and we actually think that this is what's going to fill the void in our life, this is what's going to bring happiness, it reveals that we've been deceived. It's deception of the enemy. Because we know money's not going to do it. Football's not going to do it. Spouses aren't going to do it. There's nothing in your life that will bring true joy and satisfaction outside of Jesus. You know, when I look at Revelation, the second and third chapter where Jesus is kind of given a word, where God has given a word to the churches of that day, seven different churches. You think about the church of Ephesus and Smyrna and all kinds of different churches taking place. He says to them, hey, most of you guys are doing some really good stuff. Y'all are doing some great things. You're loving these people and you're ministering to these people, but here's what they're saying. But yet you're tolerating these things. You're doing good stuff. You're worshiping me in certain areas, but you're tolerating this. And he basically said, if you continue to tolerate these things and don't fix these things, then I'm going to snuff out the candle wick. I'm going to snuff out the fire. Now, I'll be honest with you. There's a place where that kind of messes with me. In other words, what he's saying is I'm going to find somewhere else to let my spirit rest. And, you know, I may be completely wrong about this because I'm not trying to sound religious or legalistic about it by no means. Because y'all know if there's anybody that preaches hard about the cross, it's me. But I think about our day and time. I think about, you know, when you think about dead churches, people talk about dead churches. Like the church is dead. Well, what we're probably saying is we don't see very many people saved. It's kind of cold when you go. It's not much life involved. Not much going on in the community. It's just dead. Where at one time there's a great possibility that this church that is dead now at one time was probably thriving and doing incredible things for God at the moment. My question is what happened in between? My question is what happened in between to get from life to death? Somewhere something had to have happened. Maybe, I don't know, but maybe toleration took place. Maybe justifying something took place. And as the pastor of a church, I don't ever want to get to the place of being dead. I want to stay alive. As long as I live, I want to be alive. Because I only got one short life and one opportunity to pastor. So I want to do everything that produces life. And here's the big picture. There's a large responsibility on the church in general. There's a large responsibility on myself as a pastor and as our staff that we stay close to the heart of God as possible so that when he speaks and the enemy's starting to try to work in our church, that we hear and we address it, kind of like today, kind of like last week. Prayerfully every single week, but there's something special, something specific that God's trying to do right now. I don't know what it is in people's lives, because some people, this might go right over your head, but there's a lot of other people that God wants. He's pursuing you. He's coming after you because he loves you, not because he's mad at you. He's trying to help you walk in freedom. So he spoke to me this week and said, change what you had lined up. Do this. So there's a large responsibility. Now here's the big picture. The church actually is made up of individuals. So for us to allow the Spirit of God to rest here, we work on ourselves as individuals to make the church as strong as it can be. And so as God's speaking to you today and he's saying, here's the areas that you're tolerating, here's the areas that you're justifying, you as an individual, as part of the body, you begin to work on it on your own. So that when we all work on it together, we become stronger together. I've got things that God shows me all the time in my life, the high places in my life as a pastor. I think it's going to be the rest of our life. It's called sanctification. It's called becoming more like Christ. And I think God's going to show us on a regular basis more of us. Why? For the purpose of walking in freedom and honestly being more of an empty vessel that God can use. When you empty yourself up of your selfish pleasures, God can use you as a vessel to minister to the nations around you, the people around you, the city around you, the neighbors around you. God can use you. Listen, I don't want to be a church or an individual that tolerates anything that's not from God. And we need God's presence desperately in our personal lives and in our church lives so that we can be the hope of the world. And listen, I can't follow you around and tell you all the things you need to do. You have the Holy Spirit to do that. The Holy Spirit's with you all the time, and there's things that he's telling you to do that I guarantee you there are people in this room that you've dropped your guard down in those areas. Listen to this verse. This is a place where I have to check myself regularly. This is kind of a little bit deeper than what we just got through reading. 2 Kings 17:41. It says, even while these people were worshiping the Lord, they were serving their idols. Even while these people were worshiping the Lord, they were serving their idols. Even while these people were worshiping the Lord, they were serving their idols. Joash did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. However, the high places were not removed. The other kings did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. They followed the examples of their fathers, but yet the high places were not removed. In other words, we can come to church, we can go to small group, we can have our quiet time, we can worship, we can do all kinds of things for Jesus, but still have areas in our life that we will not let God have. And it's holding us back from the fullness of what God's called us to. You're tolerating it. And you justify why it's okay to tolerate. And God's saying, let it go. Surrender it so that I can use you fully. Listen to what the rest of this verse says. It says, to this day, their children and grandchildren continue to do as their ancestors did. Even while these people were worshiping the Lord, they were serving their idols to this day. Their children and grandchildren continue to do as their ancestors did. So their children and grandchildren learn to worship God along with idols. You know, I don't think anybody in this room is probably worshiping Buddha. I don't think anybody in this room is worshiping little idols. But there's a great possibility that there are other people chasing after things that you're searching to bring joy to you outside of Jesus, which is in and of itself an idol. You know, I think about our children and our grandchildren. What you do today translates to your kids, and what they do translates to your grandkids. It translates. So if you're worshiping Jesus on Sunday and your kids see you worshiping Jesus on Sunday, and maybe even they even see you reading your Bible and praying in the mornings, but yet you harbor bitterness against other family members or other church members, and they see that, they think that it's going to be okay for me to worship and harbor bitterness against people who've done things against me that are wrong. They can see you worshiping church, reading your Bible and praying every morning, but if they see you trashing your wife or trashing your husband on a regular basis, they're going to think that it's okay for me to worship at church and trash my spouse at the house. I'm a poet and didn't know it right there on the spot. Huh? What are you teaching your babies? Because what you do translates over to you next generation and the generation after. That's what it says right here. What are the things in your life that you are expecting to bring joy to you outside of Jesus? If you was to say this phrase to yourself, and this is where you got to get really honest with yourself. If you was to say this phrase, if I could have this one thing come through in my life, then I will be happy or satisfied. Now, let's get honest. Let's just get honest. If I just had this one job, or if I just had this one girl, or if I just made this amount of money, or if my football team would win, or if my children would do this, then I would be happy and satisfied. You're deceived. What is the one thing that you're searching for to bring joy to you? It's deception. Because the only one that can really bring joy is Jesus. Okay, I'll go this far. Small groups aren't going to bring joy. Church isn't going to bring joy. Serving isn't going to bring joy if you're not doing it for Jesus. I mean, that's church stuff. Everything is centered and revolves around Christ. He is life. And that's why there's so many believers who are unsatisfied, who are mean-spirited, who are self-righteous, because their focus is not Jesus, it's the shadows that surround Jesus. And God's not called us to chase the shadows of Jesus, He's called us to chase the heartbeat of Jesus. So many people are chasing shadows. You're tolerating, justifying. Listen, if that's you, there's a great possibility that if you're thinking that there may be an idol or a high place in your life, if you're thinking these things of, if I just had this one thing that'd bring happiness, honestly, there's a great possibility there's an idol in your life. There's a high place in your life that God's saying, I want you to cut it down so that I can reveal to you who I am. So I guess the whole point of cutting down the high places, because God knows when you completely surrender to Him, that we will walk in true freedom. But when we pursue things outside of Him, high places, idols, it will keep us from being used greatly and will keep us in bondage. And it all starts with surrender. So the main question of the day that I would ask you, that you really need to allow the Holy Spirit to dig deep in you, is what are you tolerating in your life that God's called you to surrender? What are you tolerating in your life that God's called you to surrender? You know, tolerating things, it's like I said, this is the second time I've said it. I'm going to say it again because I need you to get it. Tolerating things usually comes from justifying why it's okay for you to tolerate whatever it is. What is it that you're justifying on a regular basis that keeps you from entering in to full freedom? Here's a few things that I believe that the Lord has placed in my spirit about what some people here may be tolerating. And honestly, if this is you, then let's do something about it together. Because God, listen, if you're walking next, I'm telling you, if you're walking with God and pursuing God, He's always going to be showing things to you. If you're not seeing stuff, then there's a great possibility you're really not walking with God. Or maybe you're walking with God and you've got like overkill and it's become legalism and you actually think you're good and everybody else is bad. That's another message. Listen, whenever we begin to allow God to place in our spirit things that we're tolerating, and we can do something about it together, and not start justifying, because when we justify, it gets to complacency, then God can start moving in our life. And I really think toleration starts taking place when we get comfortable. The Bible says, you know, about these kings. These kings had their hearts right. They had riches. They had their hearts right in the area of, you know, I know who God is, but yet they still would knock down the high places. So it wasn't completely right, but they were right enough to make them feel like, hey, I've got everything okay with me and God. And so they got complacent. They got comfortable. They had riches. They were free from their enemies. They got comfortable, and things started slipping, and things started declining. Question number two, what have you gotten comfortable with? What have you gotten so comfortable with that you begin to justify things in your life because you're comfortable? What is it in your life that's starting to slip because you're tolerating things in your life you know you shouldn't be tolerating? Now, I want you to hear me. If you ain't heard anything else I'm saying, I need you to hear me, because I need to clarify. I need to make sure you understand what I'm saying. Listen, hear me. If you ain't heard nothing else, listen. Listen, I'm not talking about changing your behavior. I'm talking about changing your belief system. Just changing your behavior is religion. Changing your belief system is Jesus. That's relationship. I don't want you to buy into, well, I guess I better start being better. I better start being good. I got to quit doing this and quit doing this and quit doing this. Listen, I want you to understand why I'm not doing these things. I want you to understand that my life is not my own, that I have surrendered it. I've pulled out my white flag. Jesus has control of it, and I need him to show me areas in my life that I'm holding on to so that I can walk in freedom to be used more than I've ever been used before in this world. It's a belief system. It's a belief that I'm losing control of my life so that Jesus can have control, which is incredibly scary. But when Jesus controls and we walk in surrender, it brings freedom. It goes completely opposite of what the world tells you. The world tells you to hold on to your life, hold on to your rights. But Jesus says, give them to me. And watch the freedom take place. So what is it in your life that you're holding on to, that you're justifying why it's okay to hold on to these things while God is whispering in your spirit, let it go? Here's just a couple of things that I feel like a lot of us have allowed to start slipping, that I really feel like God spoke to my spirit, that there's people in our church that allow, just two areas that I believe will lead to a lot of other areas. Here's just a couple of areas I believe people are allowed to start slipping. The first one would be spiritual disciplines. Spiritual disciplines. When we get comfortable spiritually, we begin to decline in our walk with God. The one thing that I've learned is that when I truly trek after Jesus, it is not easy. But when I start getting comfortable and start making excuses why today I really don't have to pursue him as much, how much easier it is the next day to do that, and then the next day to do that. Can I ask you a question? If you're here and you're saying, Andy, that's me, my walk with God is kind of really struggling right now, man. It's just really struggling. Question of the day for you in this area is, how much time are you investing in your relationship with God? How much time are you investing in your relationship with God? Just like if I have a married couple coming for counseling at church here, one of the questions I ask them, they say, we're struggling, we're fighting, we're having issues. The first question I ask them is, how much time are you investing in your marriage? Because a marriage is a relationship. Relationship is two ways. Listen, it's not just one spouse pursuing the other one and think it's going to work. Both pursue each other. In the same way with Jesus, Jesus is always pursuing us, but yet we chase him back. It's a relationship. And I ask, how much time are you invested in your walk with God? To have a strong relationship with God, you've got to invest time with him. You know, I would say that many of us here who at one time had a strong walk with God, who may not now be as strong as you were, got comfortable in your walk, started justifying why you didn't have time or were tired or I'm okay spiritually, and just slowly but surely, you just kind of slipped away. The beautiful thing is that God, here's the beautiful thing, is that God hasn't gone anywhere. Thank you, Jesus, that his grace extends out to us even when we slipped away in our walk with God. And all he's saying is come on back, come on home, come on home. I'm waiting on you. You know, I told Andy to talk to you today. I told Andy because I'm missing you. I'm glad he was listening because he usually don't. Y'all supposed to laugh at that. That went over like a pregnant pole vaulter. Listen, but the big picture is that God cares about you enough that he spoke to me to say, tell them I want to spend time with them. Tell them, come on home. Listen, he's not sitting waiting on you with a stick ready to wear you out because you've walked away a little bit in your walk with God. He's trying to protect you. And so I would say, come home. Listen, spiritual disciplines is a wide variety. There's lots of things. I mean, prayer and reading the word, fasting. There's so many different things. And listen, you don't read the Bible and have quiet times to pray. I'm going to say what I said last week because I need you to get this. That's not discipleship. Discipleship is applying those things to your life. That's discipleship. It's taking what you read, taking what God says to you in your spirit and applying it, growing spiritually, not just reading it to get my checklist done. That's religion. Tithing is a spiritual discipline. Some of you wonder why your finances are going crazy. Not because you might have gave up on the spiritual discipline of tithing. Spiritual disciplines comes in a big variety of different things. So what have you laid down? What have you started justifying that it's okay? Because God's saying, trust me, let me have control. Walk with me. Convictions and sin would be the second one. Areas that people start slipping. What are the convictions that used to be strong in your life that you don't have anymore? Or what are you justifying that goes against your conscience that's going to take you down a bad road? What is it in your life that has you in bondage that you don't think you can let go of? You may worship the Lord on Sundays and have quiet times during the week, but this sin that you have, or maybe that the enemy's trying to get you into, has always bogged you down from walking in the fullness of Christ. What is it? What is it that you used to have convictions about that you've kind of started slipping in just a little bit? Because when you start sliding a little bit, the door opens just a little. The enemy kicks it wide open. Listen to what Romans 14:23 says. It says, but if you have doubts about whether or not you should eat something, which the whole context is about meat and the law and all that kind of stuff, that's not the part I want you to hear. I want you to hear the end. It says, you are sinning if you go ahead and do it, for you're not following your convictions. Listen to this. If you do anything you believe, if your conscience tells you I should not do this, if you do anything you believe is not right, you are sinning. When you begin to go against your conscience in little things, it's easier to go against bigger things in the future. See, that's how the enemy destroys. That's why I think that God is calling me to give this word today for somebody in the house, because there's a great possibility he's trying to protect you. Because there's a great possibility that maybe, just in a small way, you've started letting your guard down in the area of convictions that God has placed in your spirit. You've just barely started letting your guard down. And here's the big picture. That's the trap of the enemy. Because if you can start justifying why it's okay to drop my convictions in this area, what happens is it starts happening in this area, and then it happens in this area, and then it happens in this area. And next thing you know, you don't just have a little crack in the door, you've got the door kicked wide open and all hell's breaking loose in your life. The enemy knows how to play people. And so if you can let your conscience go, relax your conscience in one area, he's going to get you in the other areas also. That's why God says, surrender everything to me. Walk with me. Trust me. Don't let your guard down. It tells us on a regular basis to guard against the enemy, to stay alert, right? Watch out for the schemes and the tricks and the strategies of the enemy. Why? Because when you open your door just a little bit, you give him the right to open it all the way. And God's saying, I want to shut your door. Go back to the convictions that you had. See, what opens that door a lot of times, the justification, it usually comes because you're unhappy in a certain area. And you really believe that I got to open this door up just a little bit so that I can think that I can find happiness outside of Jesus. And so you crack it just a little bit and it leads to more and more and more until it's wide open and the door, the enemy comes in and wreaks havoc. So what is it in your life? What are you tolerating? What are you justifying? I just know the enemy's on attack. I think we've probably had more moral issues inside our church over the last 2 or 3 months than we've had in a long time. And I think a lot of it's coming because the enemy has started cracking people's doors open. Now he's kicking them open. And it started small and it ended up large. And so if you're here today and you're starting to drop your convictions just a little bit, I would say in Jesus' name that God's trying to rescue you and you need to close that door. Let him close that door so that you can walk in freedom with him. Don't get caught up in the destruction of the enemy. God wants to use you in your one little short life on this earth. We don't have time to let the enemy win. We don't have time to let the enemy win. All we have time for in our little short life on this earth is to let Jesus be fully Lord in our lives so that we can walk in the joy in trials and tribulations and the good times and satisfaction in Jesus because he is our focus. We don't have time to waste our life on the things of this world that means nothing. All we have to live for is eternity in Jesus now. And we do that through surrender. We do it through listening to the Holy Spirit. So you say, how do I overcome? Maybe you've already opened the door. Maybe there's already things in your life. And how do I overcome? How do I close that door? Well, here's how you close the door. You repent, you return, and you remember. You repent from your sin. You turn away from it. You return to God. Say, God, I'm back. So you repent, you return, and then you remember the cross. You repent, God, I've gone astray, I'm coming back, you return to God, God says, welcome home, come on in, me and you're gonna get this relationship on the right road, and then you remember the cross. You don't beat yourself up, you don't tear yourself down, you don't walk in condemnation, guilt, or shame, you lay your stick down, you let God wrap you up and embrace you, and you move forward with God. It's the only way to do it. If you're here today and you've already opened that door wide open and all hell's broke loose in your life, then let God close it, lay your stick down, pick up the cross, and let God embrace you and move you forward with him for his glory, for his honor. Let him do something in your life. I want to remind you again, I'm not talking about changing your behavior. I'm not talking about being morally good. That's religion. Well, I guess I'm just going to have to get better at this and better at this and better at this. Change your belief system. Let God have your life. Let him control it. How much time are you investing in your relationship with Jesus? Listen, God wants to set us free. It's all for the purpose of freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So God, I want to walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Let him set you free. Let him move on you. You know, the one thing that we're going to come back to, I don't know what day it is. It's not going to be next week. We're going to have Gort here. It'll be the week after that. We're going to talk about unforgiveness. Because you know what I think a lot of people do in this room? There's a lot of people that justify and tolerate grudges and unforgiveness and offense. More than we recognize, more than we realize, and that's keeping us from walking in the fullness of God. And your whole toleration, your whole justification sounds something like this. Well, you have no clue what they've done to me. You're right, I don't have a clue, but you don't have a clue what you've done to Christ, but yet he is not offended with you. He died for you, forgave you, and has called you to do the same, because he knows that whenever somebody else controls your life and him not controlling that area of your life, that you are walking in bondage and not in freedom. You know, there are some people here in this room, and I'm not thinking about somebody specifically, but I'm sure you're here. There are people that I come in contact with at our church that I just want to look at them and I want to say, hey man, who's hurt you? Because they live offended and it's just obvious. I mean, you just pick up on it. And I would love to just look at some of you and just try to help you get set free. I want to look at you eyeball to eyeball and say, hey, who's hurt you? Who's offended you? But I can't do that. You know why? Because you'll be offended. Mm-hmm. Y'all know those people you have to tiptoe around because you're scared to death? If I say something wrong, I'm going to offend them. See, most people don't know that they're offended, that they live offended. And you need a brother or sister in Christ that loves you enough to crawl up in your grill in love and say, hey, dude, who hurt you? Let them go so that you can walk in the fullness of Christ. But most of you won't let us do that because it'll offend you. Hey, God wants to set you free. Quit justifying, quit tolerating. Let God move on you, in you, and through you. He got large plans for you. And as long as you hold on to your life and don't surrender the high places of your life, you're not going to be everything God wants you to be. Lay it down. Remember the cross and walk with Jesus, okay? Let's pray. Father, we love you. Praise you. Thank you, Jesus. For